listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 49 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by SB Live. I'm Kyle Sutherland alongside Nate Olson. We had a great week last week in week five of matchups. We've got probably an even better slate this week across the board from class 7A all the way down to 2A, which of course we are going to get into those. Another great week of weather as well. I believe on Thursday it's going to be a little warm, but pretty much past that point, it'd be great if we could get some rain, but pretty much past that point, it's looking really nice for the rest of the season. But yeah, we are in the second half of the season fully. Well, most teams have played, pretty much every team at this point has played at least five games. There's some that have gotten off to some great starts, some not so much, and we'll get into that as well. But Nate, again, we say it every week, it's crazy how fast it's going by. I keep looking forward to certain matchups when we get to the week 8 through 10 range, but I'm trying just to soak in as much as I can every single week because it's going to be over before we know it.
I know. If I could change one thing, it would be to move some of those matchups up, because I found myself looking at the schedule like, well, when are these two teams playing? When is that going to be? Oh, not till week 9. Dang. I'm ready for that now, but it's one of those things. If you can wait that long, it is going to be worth it. And will be likely in a lot of scenarios for a conference championship for all the marbles. So, this has been kind of an appetizer. I mean, there's been some good matchups. There's been a few marquee ones, but like you said, that 8 through 10 is going to be really important. There's going to be a lot of big time matchups then. So until then, it's going to be, there's going to be some here and there, but that's going to be the nitty gritty when the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, I think this one might just be, and I know it's convenient to say right now because we're in week 6, but I feel like this is probably going to be the better ones until we get to those last two or three games. And of course, we'll get into those here in a second. We'll start in class 7A as we always do. We got two big matchups in that class this week, but some of the recap scores from last week. Thursday night, Cabot had absolutely no problem shutting out Little Rock Southwest 41-0. Bentonville's looked good since coming off the bye week 3 weeks ago when right after they had lost to Conway. They win 48-14 over Fort Smith Southside. Bentonville West shuts out Springdale 41-0. Fort Smith Northside handles Central with no problem, 61-7. Top-ranked Bryant, which we'll talk about here in just a second, they have to fight hard, but they pulled away from Jonesboro on the road, 43-14. Rogers Heritage edges Harbor, 41-39. Conway shuts out North Little Rock, 35-0. And, Nate, I got to bring this up before I forget it because I didn't write it down, but Rogers Heritage and Rogers won on the same night since, I believe it was November 1st of 2013. Now, they also won the week prior to that, which was September 25th, I believe it was. So those 2 weeks in a row in 2013, which at this time Bentonville West did not even exist. So you think about how far long ago that was, even though it was just around a decade. But on last Friday night, that was the first time Rogers Heritage and Rogers had won since 2013. So a nice little tidbit there. But talking about the Rogers game, they defeated Fayetteville 29-28 on a game-winning field goal, 38-yard field goal. I guess you could say game-winning. It ended up being, there was 9 seconds left on the clock still, but a clutch move there by JT Miller, again, with 9 seconds remaining. And there was a good bit of Rogers fans that weren't very happy, I guess with me in particular, seeing where they were in the rankings last week. And yeah, you could probably say they might have been a little bit too low, but I wanted to see them get a big win in class 7A. They definitely cannot overlook that win that they had against Farmington, especially when Farmington still had all the guys that they had coming into the season intact. Cameron Van Zandt, I believe that was the game that he got injured in, but still nonetheless a great performance in that one. But I wanted to see them win against a solid class 7A team, and they did that. This is the first time that they've beat Jonesboro, or I'm sorry, that they beat, I don't know where I got Jonesboro. First time they've beaten Fayetteville since 2006, and this is their best start since 2012. And to me, this is even more impressive, the way that they won in the final seconds, than if they would have won 42-21 or something like that. And the reason I say that is because it shows the resiliency of a lot of guys that are starting for the first time, especially think about quarterback Dane Williams is in his first year as a starter, and the way that they were able to be resilient and take it down to the final seconds. And look, not a lot of high school kickers, especially, and this is nothing against the kickers in the state of Arkansas, but there's maybe about a handful of them that could hit a 38-yard field goal, especially in, under this kind of pressure. So yeah. I think the way that they won this game against a quality Fayetteville team, which Fayetteville's two losses now to Rogers and to Cabot, both ranked teams, both highly ranked teams, their total points, Fayetteville's losses are four. It's 4 points. They lost by three to Cabot and then that 1 point to Rogers. But hats off to Rogers. They have shown me that they are a true state title contender here. Definitely a 7A West contender. I think that they're, when it's all said and done, are going to be a state title contender as we go along here. But definitely a statement win for them, and that's the reason why they made the biggest jumps by far in the Power 25 this week.
They weren't happy with me last year ranking them too low at the end of the year. But, you know, my reasoning there was, you know, the strength of schedule. They had some wins that early that weren't all that impressive. I mean, against impressive teams, but they kind of laid the foundation for last year, for this year. And a lot of those people probably didn't realize either that I covered Rogers High School for 3 years when I first got to Arkansas. So I've got a bit of a soft spot for the Mounties. You know, I think, you know, aside from that run with Ronnie Peacock, it's been kind of tough sledding, you know, that was in the mid 2000s. And it's neat to see what Chad Harbison has done, you know, last year, but you lose Noah Goodshield, the quarterback, and Josh Shepard, the running back, but now it's just plug and play. It's Dane Williams. He's the son of the defensive coordinator, Dale Williams. He moves over from defense to play offense. You got Ty Cunningham, who's a good wide receiver out there. And they've got some talent. And I don't know if I'm going to say state championship contender. I'm going to say right now, 7A West conference championship contender. I mean, you have to, when you're doing this power ranking in your head, I think Bentonville is number one, Rogers is two, Fayetteville is three now, and I think it's by a very slim margin, really all three of those teams, actually. I think Rogers could beat Bentonville. Also think Fayetteville could beat Bentonville. Maybe Bentonville beats both of them. There's a lot of scenarios that could happen, but I still don't think that either of those three teams can beat Bryan or Conway. I just don't think they can do it. Yeah. And maybe they will prove that me wrong later as we get into make some statements here, and one of those teams will emerge, and then you're going to say, okay, well, they went unscathed through the whole league, and now maybe we feel like it. But I think they could beat up on each other a little bit here, and maybe the winner of the West has one loss, possibly. Yeah, so, yeah. But Rogers, I mean, you cannot take anything away from that. I agree with you. That was a great point, a battle-tested win. And a thing like that is, when you win like that, I don't know if that doesn't even give you more momentum than if you won going away. I mean, you can argue both ways. The one thing I do know is losing a game like that could be disastrous. I mean, it's when you're dealing with 16 to 18 year old kids, losing a game like that the next week, I mean, a hangover could definitely happen. You know, it's hard to get over those. And also you kind of feel like, oh man, we can't get over the hump, man. Now you're over it and you're on top of the conference lead. So you control your own destiny now, with a really hard game under your belt. Now one of the tough ones is over. Now Bentonville West is going to be another big challenge.
Yeah, Bentonville West is where Rogers goes this week, and that's going to be, like you said, a definite challenge, because you can't quite count Bentonville West out. But I do think I'm with you on that. Is right now that top three, it's Fayetteville. Like in the Central, I feel like that there's a big gap, a little bit, you know. And right now, and we'll talk about this here in just a couple seconds, but right now you could definitely make a case, and this is one thing that people have complained about in the rankings as well, is why is Conway not number one compared to how they've looked? And when you look at the way that Bryant's looked, especially last Friday night when Bryant had to pull away from Jonesboro. But the thing about it is, you just cannot put Bryant anywhere but number one when they're on a 45-game in-state winning streak and until Conway beats them. You just can't do it. I mean, I understand.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, you just can't do that until somebody knocks them off. They might not have looked amazing in all of their games, but the fact is that they close them out, just like they did against Conway last year in that game with 14 seconds remaining. So, yes, it's very, very close right now. I don't know that I would feel confident putting a certain team at – now, yes, my rankings will – our rankings with SB Live will reflect that because we're going to have Bentonville ranked the highest out of all of the 7A West teams. But I really think that right now you could pretty much just throw it up. You know, you still got the Bentonville-Fayetteville matchup. That West-Rogers matchup, I think, will tell us a lot. So, there's it's very close. I think that the West is much closer than it was last year.
Yeah.
But then you go to the Central, and talking about Bryant again, they were up just 7 points there in the third quarter. And I'll tell you, Nate, I don't know that I would have like even would have wanted to be a fly on the wall at halftime for some of the things probably the coaches were saying to them. Because again, you know, Jonesboro, I think that I watched them play against Lake Hamilton, and that was an extremely hard fought game in week one. And Jonesboro is certainly down this year, but they have fought really hard. I mean, Coach Coleman really gets those kids to play extremely hard. But, you know, Bryant, again, just like that little spiel I just said, yes, they are the number one team until somebody knocks them off. But Conway's looking dang good. They beat up on North Little Rock the other night. North Little Rock did show more fight than the score will indicate. They were missing Malachi Gober at quarterback. I believe I had seen that he had some bruised ribs or something like that. I'm not confirming, but I believe it was something of that nature. So we're without their quarterback, but Conway just continues to look good every single week. They did allow 35, 36 points to Bentonville, but again, that was Bentonville. But since that point, they have just looked dominant on both sides of the football. I mean, all the way around, any way you slice it. And I don't think that it's really close right now. It's certainly Bryant and Conway there. And I know Cabot would have something to say about that, but they've got a chance to this week. They have never beaten Conway. They've never beaten Conway or Bryant, and I don't believe North Little Rock in the Scott Reed era. So this week, it really starts for Cabot to try to make a statement, and boy, do they have a good chance to do that at home this week.
Yeah, you got to play good defensively. You've got to do that because Conway's offense has just been so explosive. So you're not going to stop them, but you've got to slow them down. You've got to slow them down, and you got to get some three and outs and get some turnovers, maybe one or two. If you could score on one of those or set up a score, that'd even be better. The one thing I do know is that crowd's going to be nuts over there. Cabot, when they are good, they come out in force, and this is going to be a rivalry game. Remember, you know, this game was set up as a classic a few years ago before the season started. I think, you know, it was kind of some hoopla sponsored and all that stuff. So it's a rivalry game, and Cabot is at home, but yeah, they have got to slow down Conway to have a chance. If they let them score 35 points or more, I don't think they can beat them. It's got to be a little lower. Now, Cabot can score too, and it could be a shootout type game, but you're putting a lot of pressure on your offense if you let them roll. So Donovan Molo has been about as, you know, perfect as you can be, and they've got to make him make some mistakes. You know, they've got to figure out this week some coverages, some things that they can do to disguise, but I don't know if it's going to be, you know, Bryant may be the only team capable of it, you know, coming up with some stuff that's going to confuse him, frustrate him, put some pressure on him. But the thing you also have to worry about him is when you get him, you know, when you get in the backfield, you flush him out, and then it's third and 13, and then he gets a 15-yard gain out of a broken play. That breaks your back. So he is playing as good as anybody in the state right now. I woke up on Friday, and, you know, sometimes I wake up with these crazy ideas, and just stuff has popped in my mind. And I woke up Friday morning, and I thought Conway is going to be Bryant this year. And I don't know. I haven't thought that really the whole year. I mean, it just kind of, I woke up with that notion. I think if they played today, Bryant would, if you did the odds, it'd probably be like a 1 or 2 point favorite at home right now. And if we did point spreads, which we don't. But, you know, it would be, I mean, there would be a lot of people that pick Conway to win this game. And there might be a lot of people that pick them to win in a couple of weeks. But I also think that Bryant can do some things in the next couple of weeks to make us feel better about having them at number one and picking them to beat Conway they've got a couple big games coming up with Cabot, North Little Rock, and Fort Conway, and those games may kind of determine on how we feel going into that final game.
Well, and Coach James probably would not appreciate me saying this, but you got Central and Little Rock Southwest on the schedule, and you would think that they should essentially cakewalk through those. Again, there is no such thing as that in reality, but you would think that the talent gap in the next two games is just going to be so incredible. I mean, because I think that Little Rock Southwest in their past two games have been shut out. Central has averaged very little points this year. I just don't see that one even being close from pretty much the opening kickoff, either one of those games. But then at the end, you've got Cabot, you've got North Little Rock, and then you've got Conway that everybody in the state has circled in week 10. So I think you're exactly right. And most people thought that Bryant would go on the road and absolutely mop Jonesboro. And even though they did in the final score, if you didn't really know the details of the game, that was not the case, as we just talked about. But I do think that these two games with Central and Southwest pretty much came in. Look, that's no disrespect. I certainly don't mean that. Again, we say that a lot, but we're just talking as we see here. We know what we've seen this season and really in the past, and that's pretty much the same as what it is. Bryant's way up here, and those two schools are just not up there. So I think with those 2 weeks, you get those two games right there, and then you've got a tough end of the year schedule. Because, look, I still think, regardless of what happens, certainly North Little Rock is not a state title contender, or certainly is not right now. I mean, who knows what could happen in the next few weeks. I don't see it happening, but you never know. But with those last three games there, I certainly believe that, and with the next two, that Bryant is going to turn it around. But
yeah.
So with
I want to add one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think these next two games, because you will be heavily favored in them and they should roll. Here's what you're wanting to do in these. Get off to a very fast start. I mean, have the game, in hand by the end of the first quarter. That's your goal. You're talking about who's going to start the second half because you're up 42-0. And playing other guys in the second half. That should be your mindset, I think, because you've had a hard time a couple times getting going. So I mean, the emphasis should be, hey, we got to roll. We're favored to win this game. We can't overlook them, but we need to score on our first three possessions and put this thing away and play well, play crisp, not commit turnovers and play really good defense, offense, special teams, all four quarters. The first two are real important. Try to put them away. Those teams are, beleaguered. So if you sock them in the mouth a couple times, it's going to be hard for them to come back. And they've been getting knocked around. So hit them and get out of there quick. And let's do in these two games. But let's get the start down. Let's be up big at the half, not up 14-0 or something like that. But I also think you've got to tip your cap to Jonesboro because, man, Randy Coleman is a very underrated coach because the odds are stacked against them with the numbers, all that kind of stuff, with all their key players that departed. And they gave Bryan a heck of a run for 2.5 quarters. I mean, that's because Randy Coleman has that program at that level to where they believe they could win, and they didn't, but boy, they hung in there. They hung in there. They didn't lay down. So, and they will not do that. He is a very, very good coach. And I think he showed it Friday night. They've battled all year long and played some tough opponents.
Yeah. Jonesboro had played them much tougher than just about any team in the state, really in the range of that 45 game win streak. So certainly have to tip your hat to them, but we mentioned a good bit of these games, but just kind of a recap of the games this week in Class 7A, Bentonville's at Rogers Heritage, Central's at Bryan, as I mentioned, Fort Smith Southside heads to Fayetteville, Harbor is at Springdale, Little Rock Southwest heads to North Little Rock for the Charging Wildcats' homecoming, Jonesboro's at Fort Smith Northside, and then Rogers at Bentonville West. Mounties are hoping to stay undefeated, but Bentonville West also really needs this game. And then Conway heads to Cabot for a top five matchup, which SB Live Arkansas will be there for the Central Arkansas game of the week. So be looking for the preview story by our Jeff Halpern this week before the game. And then heading down to 6A, Russellville 55-14 over Siloam Springs. Sylvan Hills earns the first win of the year. I believe that was on a block extra point to beat Sheridan 28-27. El Dorado, the defending 6A state champions, 56-35 over Searcy, rebounding from a drubbing that they received from Benton. Greenwood was locked in a tight one at halftime for the second week in a row, but they pulled away 49-21. Pulaski Academy, big over Mountain Home on the road, 52-14. Benton crushes Marion, 55-13 on the road. Then Catholic shuts out West Memphis in the second half. They scored, the Rockets did, 23 points in that span to beat the West Memphis Blue Devils, 37-16, which Catholic is 5-0. And Nate, we still have not been able to figure out how long ago it was that Catholic was 5-0. When I was prepping for this game, since we did it for the buzz, I was talking to Coach Fogelman, and we literally for a couple of days tried to figure out how long ago it was. But I think you do have to go back to the mid-80s when they won back-to-back state titles in 84 and 85, I'm pretty sure it was. But a big-time comeback, I guess you could kind of say a comeback. They were only down by two at the half, but West Memphis gets a field goal early there on their first drive. Then Catholic makes a run, gets up 14-3. Then West Memphis goes on a run of their own. They're down 16-14. And I was talking to Coach Fogelman after the half, and when they were coming back out, and he basically was just really disappointed, said this is not the kind of mistakes that we've made all year. You know, I hope that we can overcome them type thing. And boy, did they ever. They really responded, played a great second half. And, you know, I think West Memphis is certainly not out. I mean, they only have one loss. You look at the East right now, Catholics at the top, then West Memphis, Benton, Marion. So West Memphis, Benton, and Marion all sit at 3-1. Now, Benton, of course, has the tiebreaker over Marion right now since they beat them the other night. But Benton's completed the meat of their schedule. I mean, they got Greene County Tech left. Pretty much everybody that I think is really going to give them, not that nobody else will give them their best effort, but I feel like that their top opponents are behind them. And then pretty much when you look at West Memphis, they've got Marion left. Now, Marion is a little beat up, or quite a bit beat up on offense. I know that their quarterback, Ashton Gray's been out, and they've been playing their sophomore running back, Jalen Smith, at quarterback. So I've just had to do a bunch of different moves. And right at the top of the show, we mentioned about some of the top matchups that are going to be happening from week 8 to 10. That's pretty much when we're going to figure out about the West. Still dating back to the talk that we had, I think it was last week, it's pretty much Lake Hamilton, Greenwood, PA right there at the top. And those teams are all going to basically play each other. And Little Rock Christian's still in that mix too. They've got some work to do. But those three teams at the top, Lake Hamilton, Greenwood, and PA, are going to play each other there towards the back end of the season. But, yeah, the East is extremely interesting to me right now because I think, yeah, of course, Catholic right there. They're undefeated. They're at the top of the conference. But Benton, I think, really did themselves a favor. This is the first time that they've won back-to-back games all season. They lost the Salt Bowl, then won a game, then lost one, then won one. Now they won back-to-back in a big-time win. Razorback commit Braylon Russell had his best game in a Panther uniform. Really just a good complete game all around. So I think other than Catholic, Benton has really set themselves up to probably lock up that number two seed if they play their cards right.
I agree. And I think if you look to the playoffs, they match up with some of those West teams. They've played them last year. So, you know, in the league with them.
And won the conference.
Don't you think that could be a little bit of an advantage?
Yeah, of course, you know, it was – I see what you're saying. It was last year, but yes, they know those teams. They know the tendencies of the coaches. Yes, so I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, and then scrimmage Little Rock Christian in the preseason. So they're very familiar with them, and I think that helps, particularly like Hamilton Greenwood, you know, Pulaski Academy moved in. But the others, Van Buren, they know them. I think that helps them. They've got a good coaching staff. Yeah, if they can stay in that second spot, that would be really good. And I think they knew they had to go over to Marion and play well, knew that Marion's a little banged up. That opened up the door a little bit more. But, you know, I don't even know if they were at full strength if they'd have beaten Benton. Benton was pretty much shot out of a cannon, ready to go. And when Russell is playing like Braylon Russell can play, there are going to be a lot of teams that have a hard time beating him because that guy's hard to tackle. I mean, we saw that firsthand at the Salt Bowl. I mean, he drug two or three Hornets along with him a couple times. So he's a big-time running back. They need him to play well here down the stretch. They can make a deep run in the playoffs. And like I said, I think that familiarity, you know, helps them a little bit with some of those teams they'll have to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say this real quick. It's talking about some of the – I think you and I were talking last week, not on the podcast, but just about some of the top players performers throughout the state at the midway point in the season. And we talk about Hunter Houston, we talk about Donovan Amolo and Kyle Ferry, even at kicker, for what he's been able to do this year. But I got to give a shout out, and we've talked about him plenty of times, but Justin Crutchmer from Lake Hamilton is making a strong case for player of the year. He's been playing lights out all season, did it Friday night, 6 total touchdowns. That includes a interception return, like it was 72 yards. Had another great night of receiving, had around 130 yards, pretty much all purpose. He was just under 300. And, you know, again, we've talked about him a lot, how great of a wrestler he is, how great of an athlete overall, but that's a young man right there, especially if he plays up to that level against the Greenwoods, against the PAs. Yeah. I think he's going to be up there for possible player of the year. I just wanted to make sure I gave him that shout out because he has just been playing lights out, as has pretty much the entire Lake Hamilton team. But definitely the best is in front of us for that West Conference. There's going to be a lot of fireworks weeks 8 through 10. And then the East is really going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, we've talked about every single week about how is El Dorado going to really take that next step up. They're struggling for the most part right now, and this is about the time last year that they really turned it on. And so they're pretty much running out of time for the most part and really need to get it going. So yeah, right now it's right pretty much Catholic as they stand alone there at the top, West Memphis, Benton, and Marion, as we just talked about. So some of the top games this week: Sylvan Hills goes to Jacksonville. Siloam Springs is at Pulaski Academy. Van Buren goes to Russellville. Little Rock Catholic is at Sheridan. Mountain Home heads to Little Rock Christian. The Warriors coming off of their bye week. Marion takes the trip to Searcy. Greenbrier is going to Lake Hamilton. Then El Dorado's at West Memphis. As I mentioned, this was about the point that El Dorado turned things around. So are they going to do that, or is West Memphis going to rebound from their first loss of the season? And then also, finally, Greene County Tech will travel to Benton, I believe, is that game this week. I think I had that right from the schedule, but I can't remember if they played or not this year. But headed down to Class 5A, Hot Springs, 49-13 over Hope. Robinson big over Valonia, 42-3. Valley View over Forest City, they blank them 49-0. Shiloh Christian, 57-13 over Clarksville. Mills, 30-0 over Maumel. Maumel really struggling right now. They've been shut out in back-to-back games. Dardanelle, 50-35 over Pea Ridge. Camden Fairview, they got out to a 14-0 lead over Texarkana, but Texarkana played a really good game. I'll tell you what, Nate, Trey Outlaw's doing a much better job than I think people realize there. They've been really competitive this year. They lose just 21-8 to Camden Fairview, who we've had around the 15 range pretty much the entire season in our Power 25. Batesville continues to roll, shutting out Paragould, 35-0. Nettleton, 49-20 over Brooklyn. Pine Bluff stays hot and beats BB. They thrash them through the Zebras over the Badgers, 49-14. Win 42-21 over Southside Batesville. And then Farmington, 43-8 over Alma. And I want to go back to that Farmington game just a second, because we did our own Steve Andrews covered that one, and what a statement made from Farmington. But Nate, we have had some great finishes already this season halfway through with some excellent calls, starting really with Tim Terry's and the Greenwood versus Fort Smith Northside finish with that Hail Mary from Kane Archer to Grant Carnes. But we had another one in Class 5A, really for the, I think it's the second in 3 weeks, Prairie Grove. So they defeated Harrison 46-40. Both times that Harrison could be 5-0 right now, but they had that last second walk-off 2-point conversion against Batesville, and then they had this last second flea flicker against Prairie Grove. And it's just really deflating for the Goblins. I don't want to use that word just yet because they still have plenty of time to respond. But just a tough couple of games right there, knowing that you're literally 2 plays away from being undefeated. And I got this clip here courtesy of, I believe it was the PG. I'll have to find the website here so that way I make sure I give the proper credits. But in the Prairie Grove Harrison game, this was another great call that I think courtesy of PGTigersOnline.com, that's what it was, that is probably going to be the one competitor. If any call is going to beat Tim Terry's, it's probably going to be this one. I think it'll come down to these two. But this clip is the final play of the Prairie Grove Harrison game, and it sounded a little something like this.
Down now.
Flea flicker.
He's got Flasco.
Flasco.
Got it! He got it!
Oh my god!
Oh my goodness! Holy cow! Oh my goodness! With 14 seconds left!
Oh my goodness!
Holy cow! The flea flicker! Oh my goodness!
Now, as a color commentator, I think no. And look, I'm not taking shots at anybody, but I think the color commentator might have needed to just kind of, you know, back off a little bit. But again, I'm not insulting anybody. It was a crazy spur of the moment thing. You know, nonetheless, though, it's still going to be possibly one of the calls of the year. Sully's going to have a tough time deciding between that, and we've still got a whole nother half of the season left. But again, that was courtesy of PGTigersOnline.com. I want to make sure I give the proper credit for that. That was a pass from Camden Patterson to Matthew Velasco. Just outstanding play.
There's Velasco! There he is!
Yeah, well, Velasco beat double coverage, too. And this is, Nate, Matt Velasco is like a 6'2", 6'3", 225, 230-pounder. So it's not like he's some speed guy, but he beat the, and I'm not saying he's not fast or anything, but I'm saying he's not like a 4.3, 4.4 guy.
Yeah.
But on the final play of the game, he beats double coverage and does that. And it was just it was really fun. Y'all, you need to go watch it. It's all over Twitter. You can pretty much find it.
It was a great call.
It really was.
And Danny Abshire, 30 years at Prairie Grove. I mean, when I was back in Northwest Arkansas starting my career in 98, you know, Danny was firmly entrenched there, and a guy who loves to run the football. So it's funny that, you know, they set that up with a, you know, with the handoff, pitchback, flea flicker, and what great execution. But the call is awesome because, as you know, and you and I have both been color guys, analysts, your main goal is to not step on the play-by-play guy. Let him make the call. That's great until something like that happens.
Yeah. No, and you see
a 6'3", 225-pounder running down the field untouched, and he's about to catch this pass, and then you yell, "We got Velasco!"
Yeah, that's tough. And again, if whoever was the color guys listening to this, we're just poking fun. It's nothing.
I'm not even poking fun. I'm just saying that you. The emotion of the, and the other thing you've got to remember too, with these radio ain't got no flags and all these calls. It's because they are the home broadcasters of those teams.
Sure. Absolutely.
They are living and dying with every play. And some of these guys have called these games for 20 years. Yeah. So they're fans too. They're for the teams. Tim Terry, those guys, I mean, they live, breathe, eat, sleep Greenwood football. So that is why you get the emotion like that and the screaming. And I every time I hear one of those, and occasionally they make it to ESPN. I don't think anybody watches SportsCenter anymore, but used to, and that was a relevant program. They would put high school calls on there sometimes, and particularly from the state of Texas. And it would always be funny because they would lose their mind. But it's great. It high school football is fun. The broadcasts are supposed to be fun. And on a play like that, it would be easy to lose your mind. It would be easy for one of us doing a buzz game when we are impartial to not get a little crazy in the booth, because that was a nutty play. I mean, that was really, really nutty. So I think that is right. Sully, I'll just say this. Sully's got a tough call there.
Yeah, I don't want to be him.
I wouldn't either. And the season's not over. I mean, what if something else? There's definitely something else that could be right in line with that at some point, especially if you're talking about a playoff game or state championship or something like that. But happy for Prairie Grove and Danny Abshire. And it is a tough luck for Harrison. And I wanted to mention Talon Stevens. You're talking about Crutchmer earlier. That guy probably is the most versatile player in all of high school football. And Talon Stevens is right with him. You know, the stuff he's done on special teams this year, blocking kicks and all returning interceptions. He's right there with Crutchmer. But usually, like, guys that are contributing like that are on 3A or 2A programs where you're playing both ways. These guys are playing in the upper classes of high school football in Arkansas and are playing on both sides of the ball and special teams. That's really remarkable. And I want to give Talon a shout out. I think he had another good game in that ball game. I know his team came up a little short, but he needs his name called a little bit more. I think he's had a really great year over for Harris.
Yeah, no doubt. And usually when you think about the players of the years, it goes to the teams that are true state title contenders and all that. And I think that Harrison still is in that, Matt, because again, they are two plays away from being 5-0. You know, Chris Keelan's done it. Of course, there really wasn't anybody else once that job came open that knows that team better than him. So, you know, great pickup. He was only away from the program for 1 year when he was at Riverview and then came back and has done a great job in his first year, just got some really tough breaks. And now it's just really about making sure that you understand that, you know, what a lot of the things that they have is right there still in front of them. Maybe not that top seed in the West, but still plenty is right there in front of them. But yeah, I definitely agree with you. On Talon Stevens, giving him a shout out there. And some of the other big news front stays in the 5A West, which, by the way, Prairie Grove, they're tied with Shiloh and Alma at the top of the 5A West at 4-1 in the conference. Their only losses to Metro Christian out of Oklahoma and out of state. So that's the only one for Prairie Grove. So they've really made some strides this year. Like you said, under long-term, like really over three decades now that Danny Abshire has been there. So
big guy.
Yeah,
big guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stuck with that run game for all those years.
Oh, yeah, and he's the longest tenured coach currently and one of the winningest active coaches in the state right now as well. But wanted to really just give some major props to Farmington for what they have overcome. Look, yeah, everybody, or a lot of teams, especially once you get to the midway point and later on, you're going to deal with adversity, whether it's off the field, whether it's on the field, with injuries or whatever it may be. But that was certainly what happened to Farmington. They lost their all-state quarterback, Cam Van Zandt. I think everybody knows about that by now. And they actually fell to Harrison last week, 21-14. So lost two games in a row from Rogers, then a bye week, and then fell to Harrison. But moving Sam Wells over from defensive back to quarterback, you know, I wondered how that would go because I felt like – this staff, you know, you look at the top at J.R. Eldridge, and I've talked about how just impressed I am with him. You know, I really we talked a pretty decent bit whenever he was covering North Little Rock, or when he was at North Little Rock, because at the time I was only covering Central Arkansas. And you just look at his track record overall. Before he was in high school sports coaching as the head coach at Arkadelphia, he was at Washtenaw Baptist as defensive coordinator, strength and conditioning coordinator, so had plenty of experience from the college game. And then what he did at Arkadelphia, bringing them some of the – which Trey Shucker's done a fantastic job of keeping that up. But he brought them the best times in 30 years since the John Outlaw era when John Outlaw went to Texas. Won back-to-back state titles 2017-2018. His 2018 team was arguably the greatest run in state history when you look at any classification, starting off 0-5, then beating four number one seeds in the playoffs to win a second straight state title. Then you go to North Little Rock. He takes them to a state title game, loses to Bryan, of course. But just knowing what his track record is and the kind of staff that they have up there, they're one of the few schools, I think, that can overcome something like this. They've got a great offensive line. They've got great skill players. They got a solid defense. And to do what they did with a converted defensive back that Sam, you know, Sam Wells didn't have the greatest stats in the world. I mean, he had just under 200 yards, but he got the job done and did exactly what he needed to do. And that's a credit to Sam, but that's also a credit to what this coaching staff has done to put the right guys in the right positions. And they dominated Alma, Nate. I mean, an undefeated Alma team, it was 8-8, and then Farmington just ran away with it. So I say all of that just to say that, yes, it's fantastic what they've done. There's still a long way to go. They've got Shiloh in a couple of weeks. Of course, they've got two games before that. But that was some great adjustments that Farmington made to make sure that they took down Alma, and really with authority.
JR is as good as they come. And Steve Andrews and I were talking about him and just, you know, the intensity that he has, but he's also a very nice guy. But when he's out there between the lines, intense, the players like him, they play for him. But he's just a very good coach and a good guy to deal with. And, you know, Steve talked to him about Cam Van Zandt, and there was a lot of, you know, rumors swirling about him that he may not return this year. It may not be till, the playoffs. And, you know, as you saw in that preview story, you know, it's week to week, and it could, it what coach said was could be 4 weeks, could be 6 weeks. Don't know. And there's there, but there'd been some talk about different scenarios, and you know, he kind of put that to bed and said, well, you know, it could be sooner, it could be later. We'll just have to see how the foot is. And so, you know, he obviously at the game the other night, I think he was in a boot, so he's recovering, but I think they're hopeful that if they could just get him back for the playoffs and keep the ship righted until then, that they can make a deep run with him. He's fantastic talent. And the thing that you don't want to do in an injury like this is bring somebody back too soon, because, and I always tell people that it, you come back a year, week or two early, then you set yourself back another 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, you got to let those injuries heal completely, or you're risking completely being shelled for a long time. And they know that, they understand that. And I think they're taking the proper precautions with him and pulling the right strings, excuse me, while he's gone, but to give them the best chance to compete. And I think that was a big win against Alma. I mean, they come in here riding high, one of the better teams they've had in, you know, probably 15 years. And Farmington, you know, they KO'd them. They really played physical, and their defense was great. And the offense under the, you know, the back quarterback is still clicking pretty good. So that's a testament to him and the culture that he has built there. It seems like it doesn't have to be very long to instill that culture either, because Farmington wasn't at that level when he got there, and last year kind of overachieved, and now they're sort of, now they're at that level. So, and they've got a couple of really good players, including Van Zandt, that can play at that high level. So I think if they can get him back before the end of the year, before the playoffs, they're going to be just fine. And they'll win a few games before then too.
Well, and I think they're in the exact same position that my Cowboys are in, of course, on a much lower scale. But Cooper Rush comes in and has done a really good job sitting at that 3-0, 4-0 for his career. And so you tend to – I think that they made a great – Greg Olson and Aaron Andrews on the broadcast on Sunday made a really good point. When things are not going good, sometimes you tend to act on emotion. And I'm not saying that Farmington would do this. I'm just saying that the fact that Sam came in and showed that he could get the job done, it makes them feel a little bit better about, hey, well, you know, we're not completely lost because our star quarterback went down. We've got a guy that can come in and is capable of doing the job and getting things done along with his teammates around him. And so I think you're exactly right. If it's not until the playoffs that Cam is back, or whenever it may be, I think Farmington's going to be in a pretty good spot. But they do go to some of the top 5A games this week. Farmington does go to a stingy Dardanelle team, and then they got one more before they do play Shiloh Christian, which could come down to definitely one of the top two playoff spots. And then the 5A West, some other ones: Pea Ridge heads to Alma, Camden Fairview is going to be at Magnolia. That's a massive matchup in the 5A South. Both of those two teams in our Power 25 rankings. Greenbrier is at Lake Hamilton. I'm sorry, you know what? I did it. I mean, I swear, every single week I do a team in the wrong class. I'm at least good for one. Harrison is at Shiloh Christian. That's going to be a pretty good one as well. Brian Maupin and Maumel will host his former team that he was defensive coordinator of. They host Joe T. Robinson, which, you know, you would think that Joe T. Robinson is going to take advantage of the struggles that Maumel has right now, but you never know. And then when is that Valley View in one of the better 5A games of the week? Down to Class 4A, Boxville over Bauxite over Pottsville, 34-14. Gentry is 5-0 once again. I believe this is their second straight year of being 5-0 after shutting out Berryville 35-0. Ozark 42-14 over Green Forest. Blytheville 47-7 over Jonesboro West Side. Haskell Harmony Grove, they continue to build on their best start in school history, defeating Lamar 45-14. Warren pulled away from Stuttgart after that one was, or from Crossett after that one was close for a little while, 41-14. Elkins shuts out Huntsville 41-0. Pocahontas throttles previously undefeated Gosnell 35-8. Malvern shuts out Waldron big time, 57-0. Star City over McGee 27-6. And Nate, this is one that was pretty shocking to a lot of us, at least kind of pretty much how it went through the first three quarters. Harding Academy, they were truly challenged for the first time this season, but they ended up winning 31-21 over Lone Oak. The Jackrabbits led 21-20 at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and then Harding Academy was able to pull away. And I say shocking just because Lone Oak's been playing really good. They've done a good job under Chris Norton in year one. You know, I just didn't think that there was any team really. And now that that Harding Academy had gotten past Stuttgart, I wasn't really sure that there's going to be any team that touched them in that conference really until we get to the playoffs. But one thing I really noticed when I was on the way to War Memorial Stadium on Friday, I was listening to Coach Norton, and of course, you know, Kevin Bohannon and Randy Rainwater were at Lone Oak for the Sonic, or whatever they're calling it this year, their pregame show. And I don't want to say the wrong thing. They might be Ortho Arkansas or Arkansas Urology now, but either way, their pregame show. And they were talking to Coach Norton, and you know, a lot of times you hear the coach speak and stuff like that, but when I was listening to him talk, I felt like, dang, they really truly believe that they can go. And they got great athletes, like I said. You know, you think about starting first of all with Braden Allen, and they got a great left tackle and Chauncey Johnson that's got Division I offers, P5 offers, and the list goes on and on and on. Some great receivers, good guys on defense, and I'm like, man, I think that they like have really made themselves believe that they can win, that they're not going into this scared. Like, I don't sense that whatsoever. I can't say that for the many other pregame like interviews and press conferences that I've been involved in, but Coach Norton truly believed that they were going to go out there and compete. And that's exactly what they did. I think, look, we all hate the term moral victory, but you certainly have to consider this one. I mean, you led Harding Academy for three quarters of the game, and you still hung with them tight there. They might not look at it as that. They look at it, look, we lost the game, we're going to move on, and that's what you have to do is move on. But certainly have to tip your hat to Lone Oak for the performance that they had, and also great for Harding Academy there to pull away after really being challenged again for the first time in 2022.
You have to take some of the positives out of it, though, and then learn from what, you know, maybe you did in giving up those 10 points at the end. What did we not do right to finish it off? But I mean, when nobody is in a position to beat them in most of these games, I mean, you go back and look, they haven't had a lot of close games, and look what they did to Boonville a couple weeks ago. And that's a good team, you know? So you take them down to the wire, you make them earn it. That is an accomplishment, because not many people are able to do that. So yes, you're not going to be satisfied with that, but you also have to, you can't get down on yourself, and you have to feel good that you pushed them. And the next time you play a team like that in the playoffs, maybe you win the game because you remember what it took to be there. And there aren't going to be too many teams that are going to be better than Harding Academy that you're going to play. Really, there's a handful maybe. And that might be the state champion that you just took to four quarters. So that's a good accomplishment, something to file away. You got to go play another game this week, but that's really a good thing, and you can build on it. And then for Harding Academy, I think Neil Evans, you may not admit this, but probably happy that they had a close game, because you could see a couple of those coming down the pike in the playoffs. How do you react when the game is tied in the fourth quarter on the road? He didn't know. You're right. He didn't know that. How do you react? And your sophomore quarterback makes some plays, you rally around them, and your big time kicker makes a field goal too, to make it a 10 point advantage. I've been saying all year long, and we did the big story on him, but he is a weapon. He was on the list. Kyle Ferry was, as a mid-season player of the year candidate for the entire country. So people have taken notice of him and his, you know, I think going into the game, he'd only had two kickoffs that weren't in the end zone. That's a big weapon. But again, they all played well in the fourth quarter, a team effort to pull that one off. And you've got to feel good if you're Neil Evans to come out of there with the win and see how your team responded.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that Ferry, he didn't have like a 56 yarder or anything like that, but still was like 3 for 3 in that game. So definitely always.
And that one that made it a 10 point advantage, yes, too, I believe.
Exactly. You know,
so big that's time. A clutch kick. It's a clutch kick at the end. We talked about, you know, in the opening about the Rodgers kicker, Miller making 38 yarder. I mean, there aren't a lot of kickers that can even, you know, even in the 30s or 25 when there's a lot of pressure. So, you know, you've got him. He's going to make most anything in 40 and in is pretty easy for him. And so if you can get in range, you need one to cap off. You need a, like in that case, you know, you needed a, I think it was a 33 yard or something to make it a 10 point game. You feel comfortable kicking it with him.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, there's certainly plenty still in front for Lone Oak. They've got their next biggest probably challenge of theirs will be Stuttgart in week 9 on October 28th. That's likely going to be for the number 2 seed. Again, you know, we talk about the future a good bit, but we always want to make sure we point out too that there's plenty of games left to be played, but likely that one will be for the number 2 seed. I think right now, just because of mainly Stuttgart's their injury issues and all that stuff, I think Lone Oak might have the edge a little bit. As it stands, but still plenty more to happen. And teams like Arkadelphia is off this week, and there's a big matchup in Malvern against Ashdown. But and so we've talked at length about the 4A8, the 4A7, but two teams in particular that I really like, along with all the others that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. Haskell Harmony Grove, they run that Diamond T offense, kind of similar to what Don Campbell ran all those years, doing a really good job this year. Again, as I said a second ago, off to their best start in school history. And Pocahontas up there in the East, they made a really big statement, I think, with Connor Baker. I mean, just one of the better players in the state overall. We mentioned him a couple of times last week on the show, but Pocahontas really made a big statement throttling Gosnell, who was previously undefeated. And Pocahontas' only loss is to Nettleton, and from Class 5A, a very quality yep. team. But some of the games this week, some of the key ones that feature some of our top teams. Bald Knob is at Harding Academy. Bauxite goes to Clinton. Dover heads to Haskell Harmony Grove, almost said Camden. Warren's at Dumas. Truman heads to Gosnell. Lone Oak is at Cave City. Lamar will head to Mayflower. Let's see. Mina will go to Nashville. Lincoln's at Ozark. Star City is at Helena. Pocahontas goes to Harrisburg. Riverview goes to Stuttgart. And then, as I mentioned, out of the 4A7, Ashdown will head to Malvern. Both of them undefeated against in-state competition. You can hear that live on 103.7 The Buzz for our game of the week, along with Nate, who will host the SB Live halftime show. Coverage begins at 6:45, again on 103.7 The Buzz on the radio or on the app. Down in 3A, Greenland upsets Mansfield 19-13. Charleston 48-6 over Cedarville. Whitman over England 43-23. Camden Harmony Grove 53-6 over Dollarway. Fordyce 50-24 over Drew Central. Falk 49-20 over Horatio. Glenrose shuts out Jesseville 37-0. We got another shutout as well. Melbourne 44-0 over Yellville Summit. The Bearcats are 5-0 in Stu Smith's first year. Lavaca beats Hackett 35-6. The Arrows are now 5-0. Newport 44-28 over Salem. Prescott handles Junction City 55-20. And then Boonville has another stellar week on the ground as they pummel West Fork 48-21. Nate, I was talking to Glenn Parrish on Saturday. We talked for probably about 20 minutes on the phone, just kind of I was getting an update on some of those teams out near his way. And I think it's over 600 yards in the past two games, something around that range that Boonville has rushed for. Now, that's not extremely surprising that they were so successful on the ground, but just because that is their game, running the flex bone. But they've got a good bit of injuries, especially on defense. I know Ryland Ray's been out as well. But Dax Goff, 16 carries for 307 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 20 touches overall that totaled 380 yards. And I love it how anytime he gets credit, and there's a lot of guys who do this, but anytime he gets credit on social media, Twitter or whatever, it's always how much he loves his offensive line, how grateful he is for them and his teammates around him. But just like we've continued to say, Prescott and Boonville, it seems like right now that they're at the very top. Now, the 3A1 conference, which is where Boonville is at, I'm really interested to see, because that's another conference that a lot of the back-end games are going to probably be some of the better ones, and we'll find out who the real dogs are. You know, West Fork is a team that's done really well this year. Mansfield, Lavaca is one that I've got, since they've started off undefeated, that's one that I've gotten a lot of questions about. Actually, as of Monday, had a couple of people text me about them, and I like what they've done. They're scoring a lot of points. Their win over 2A Mount Ida was pretty impressive, especially the deficit. But they've got Charleston, Mansfield, Boonville. The back half of their schedule is really going to find out who they are. That's just one team to single out. But so we'll find out a lot about more teams, but still Prescott and Boonville, to me, are probably the top dogs in Class 3A.
Oh, yeah. No, no doubt. Lavaca is an interesting team too, but that kind of like with Bryant, you know, they've got to finish with a really tough schedule. So, and we didn't know a lot about them before the season started. So we'll find out for sure if they're a contender or a pretender, but you can only play the schedule you've got, and they've done a good job of picking them up and putting them down. We'll see, but I think, you know, the Boonvilles and those teams will be ready for them. I need to give a shout out to Goff. One of his family members sent me his statistics. They want him to get in that our performers list and on the athlete of the week. And so we will be watching him, and the next time that he does this, which may be soon, we'll get him included. So I wanted to mention that he had a really good week. And, you know, there are hundreds and hundreds of players. We don't get all of them in those lists. And, we apologize for that, but it's going to be hard to get, you know, when there's that many good players to get everybody in. But I do appreciate his relative sending that to us, and he is on our radar for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, I mean, especially when you get into basketball and softball, the spring sports, there's even more teams that we have to cover. So yeah, we're going to miss them every week, regardless of what sport it is. Of course, that's unintentional, but I know that there's been a lot that have sent me stuff that I try to get to the proper people to make sure that you get on the list. And so we certainly appreciate all of you guys' help from across the state. And everybody does a really good job of doing that, because, I mean, we pretty much rely, yes, we see stuff on Twitter and various social media outlets, but a lot of it is from the coaches that call in to you and Rex's show, or ones that send in to Kevin that sends to me, regardless of how it is. We certainly appreciate all the help that we do get with that. And, Nate, I'll tell you one, and this will, of course, be on our top 10 games this week, but Camden, Harmony Grove, and Rising out of 3A6, that's one that I've also got circled. I think Camden, Harmony Grove's their only loss is to Harding Academy, but overall, maybe one other one in there. I don't have it in front of me. But Rising is undefeated this year, first time since 2018. Clay Toddy, another one of those coaches. We talked about Danny Abshire earlier. Clay Toddy's another one of those that's been doing it a long time and has them off to a great start. That's one that I've also got circled. Lavaca, West Fork is going to be another one. Salem and Melbourne is also an intriguing one. Melbourne is 5-0. Salem, they lost to Newport last week, which Newport continues. That's another team that just continues to trend up. And Newport, it goes to Atkins this week. You would think that that's probably a favorable matchup for them, especially the way that they're running the football. Bismarck is going to be at Glen Rose. Boonville heads to Greenland. Magnet Cove heads to a hot center point team. Charleston is at Mansfield. That's another one from the 3A1 that should be pretty intriguing. Fordyce at Dollarway, and then Falk at Prescott. So we've got some games this week, particularly in 3A, that could either be blowouts, or we could figure out what some of these teams that have started off hot are really made of. So I think that's one really, really big classification to look out for fans across the state this week. Is the Class 3A, because there's a lot of teams that I think that we're going to get at least a glimpse of what they're made of so far. And then last but not least, heading down to Class 2A, Hazen shuts out a struggling Baptist Prep 51-0. Carlisle makes a statement, thrashing Episcopal 48-21. Clarendon 32-6 over Cross County. Conway Christian runs Hector's Party, upsetting the Wildcats. I believe that was on homecoming, 34-30. Dirks 39-12 over Murfreesboro. Mark Tree continues to roll 34-18 over Earl. East Poinsett County 68-42 over defending state champ McCrory. And Jason Hathcock's return to Lafayette County. Mineral Springs defeats the Cougars 66-30. And Mineral Springs really on a roll right now. Mount Ida over Poen. They shut out the Indians 28-0. And Nate, going back to Carlisle, that was pretty much the top game that I think everybody was looking at last week. We were thinking the premier matchup a couple of weeks ago would have been Poen and Mount Ida, but Episcopal and Carlisle have been two teams that have been really hot through the first half of the season. Carlisle was literally allowing a point and a half. Now, people were questioning, and rightfully so, their strength of schedule, but like you said a second ago, you can only play the schedule that you're dealt, and they did it just about as well as you could ask. I don't remember exactly how much it was that they were outscoring opponents, but it was somewhere around the range of like 198-6, just something crazy outrageous. And then Episcopal has done a great job after winning back-to-back club titles in 8-man, moved back up to the 8-man ranks, and they've done a really good job. So Carlisle with Jason Sullivan there, one of the top backs in Class 2A, I think that they are certainly they've already proved at this point that they are the most improved team in Class 2A. But also, I'm looking forward to Mark Tree and East Poinsett County. Those are two of the top teams. I've said since preseason that EPC, I think, would probably be in the top three when it's all said and done in the class overall. Once the regular season's over, they're living up to that hype right now. But Mark Tree is another one up there in that east part of the state that I think is also making some noise.
A part of the state that, quite frankly, gets overlooked a lot. But EPC has put up points for a long time. They've high scoring teams, good talent. Look at all the basketball talent that's come out of there, you know, and there's some good athletes. That's a fun team to watch a lot of years and are doing it again this year.
Yeah, and I was thinking that EPC played Mark Tree a little bit sooner, but that's actually another week. There's so many good, and again, we don't want to look too far ahead, but there's so many good. There's going to be a lot, and this typically is the case a lot of years, where conference titles are usually decided in that week. And another one that's going to be really good that week is Hazen and Carlisle. Those two teams likely could both be undefeated for the first time. Man, I'd have to really go back and look and see when the last time those two teams were undefeated. I mean, big-time rivals. I think I've mentioned on the show before, I've got family in Carlisle, and even when my cousins were in high school 30 years ago, I mean, that was, you know, just right down the highway. Big-time teams that really just do not like each other. And Hazen, that's another team that just continues to roll. It just blows my mind. For the last couple of years, they haven't hardly dressed 20 guys. I mean, they might dress about 15 to 18 in that range, but they continue to roll. And then another one that I like to just mention a second ago, Mineral Springs. They got two really good running backs that have really been doing the job. And can't say enough about what Jason Hathcock's done there already. But top games this week in Class 2A, Episcopal probably has a favorable matchup over Bearden, but go ahead and mention them since Episcopal is one of our top-ranked teams right now, one of our favorites in Class 2A. Bigelow will go to Hector. That should be a pretty good one. Clarendon is at McCrory. Cross County heads to EPC in a game that should be pretty favorable for the Warriors. Mark Trees at Desark. Desark's continuing to try to make a little bit of a winning streak after starting off the season, struggling there through the first two games in particular. And then Mineral Springs will be at Dirks. That's probably the 2A game of the week, I would say. And then England heads to Hazen. So that will do it for our coverage of week 5, and then the previews for week 6. For, of course, all of our stuff, you can get on scorebooklive.com/Arkansas, whether it be for our games of the week, our podcast, whatever it may be. We post all of our stuff on there, of course, as well as our social media accounts. You can also catch some 8-man coverage on top of what we already have on our site. You can go to Spotify and listen to that, the 8-man pod with Aaron Weatherford and Steve Knox, as we release those episodes every week. So be sure and subscribe to that, as well as volleyball coverage that Jeff Halpern has done a fantastic job on really since the beginning of the year. He's done a great job with those rankings, giving those girls the coverage that they deserve. So if there's anything else that we're missing, please let us know at arprepextra@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Other than that, for Nate Olson and all of us here at SB Live, I'm Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next time.